It is time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I would encourage you at this time to get your Bible and be turning to Luke chapter 11 in just a moment. I'm going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 52, 53, and 54, and we're going to conclude a few lessons we've had on this section of the Scripture about Jesus among friends and foes. And we have just a little bit to go on Elam's notes on that. And then we're going to go into a very interesting kind of lesson that many of you may never have heard before. And so get your Bibles and be ready for doing that. While you're getting your Bibles, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. The saints have been gathering together to worship our Heavenly Father after the New Testament pattern at this location for over 100 years. We now have a Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd. I'm the preacher at Rockcliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this school, we're studying the Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam and were prepared for the Sundays of 1922. The current lesson is for December 17th. 1922. And let me read to you this passage from the book of Luke. Luke 11:52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you took away the key of knowledge, and ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And when he was come out from thence, the scribes and Pharisees began to press upon him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, lying in wait for him to catch something out of his mouth. Here's the notes from E.A. Elam on that passage. These lawyers took away the key of knowledge from the people by their false theories and by covering the truth deep beneath the rubbish of their tradition. They would not accept Christ, hence would not enter into his kingdom, and did all in their power to hinder others. Publicans and harlots went into the kingdom of God before them, because publicans and harlots repented at the preaching of John the Baptist, and they rejected both John and Jesus. Matthew 21:31-32. Routed and condemned by Jesus, the Pharisees and scribes set themselves vehemently against him and laid schemes to catch something against him. Now that is the conclusion of that lesson. Now when I turn the page, I see that the next lesson is for December 24th. That Sunday would have fallen on a Christmas Eve in 1922. And many in that day, as they are today, considered Christmas as somewhat of a religious holy day and have special Christ Mass or Christmas services and such things associated with that day, as though this day is somehow elevated above all the days of the year for its holiness. Now, that creates a dilemma for those of us that are trying to restore New Testament Christianity, because we want to do everything the Bible says that we are to do, and we don't want to be adding to the things that the Bible teaches us and just do things that of human origin, but to restrict ourselves to that of divine origin. And I think everyone can see the nobility of that effort. Well, in such a way, you would restore the church to what it was as it was established by Jesus and under the authority of the apostles while they were living and speaking on this earth. And that's the church we want to be. And so what do you do with Christmas? You see, Christmas is not in the Bible. Now that Christmas story, that story we talk about is the birth of Christ. We read the story of the book of Christ in the Bible. But there's nothing in there about a special birthday for Jesus. And as Elam is going to point out here, you would think that if God wanted us to celebrate a day as his birthday, he would have said something about it. Now, the Bible thoroughly furnishes us unto every good work. And since there's nothing about Christmas, what do we do about that? You see, there is at that time an elevated interest in things about Christ and about the Bible and about that story that we call the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Christ. And we'd like to take advantage of that elevated interest and attract people and teach people the truth about Jesus during those Christmas season. But we don't want to do it in such a way that we do like these lawyers did, that Jesus just condemned, and cover the truth up with our own human traditions. And so it's a dilemma to know just exactly what to do about that. Surely, I think with a little judgment, we can take advantage of people's interest in the holy things and religious things at that time without making this day, December 25th, a special religious holy day. But we'll have to exercise some judgment in doing that, and we'll have to allow others to exercise judgment in that way as well, who may not use our particular judgment. But people might scoff at this, but I think you see the dilemma. If you want to do New Testament things in New Testament ways, well, this is not even a New Testament thing. And so there's no New Testament way to do Christmas. And so that is interesting. Now, Elam is going to address that in this particular, just before we get to this particular lesson. And I want to read that. And he emphasizes something else that many people do neglect that we should not neglect. Now, here it is. Elam says this. This lesson is called a Christmas lesson, because it comes near December 25th, which is supposed by some to be the birthday of Jesus. If this were known to be the birthday of Jesus, God does not desire that we celebrate it as such, for he has given no such information and directions. If God had desired the birthday of Jesus to be celebrated, he would have made that day known as definitely as the day of Jesus' resurrection. Where Jesus was born and during the time of what rulers he was born have been made known, but his birthday is not known. Humanity seems prone to celebrate noted events and marked epochs. It has sought in vain to discover the birthday of Jesus in order to celebrate it. It seems God purposely allowed this day to pass without being recorded, because he did not desire it to be celebrated. Human nature also seems prone to neglect and reject God's requirements and to institute ways and laws of its own. To obey God and to trustfully follow his wisdom is to honor him. It is self-glorification to follow human ways and wisdom. God cannot be obeyed or worshipped in spirit and in truth or honored by doing in religion something that he has not ordained or commanded, or by leaving off or undone anything he has commanded. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and teaches that it is to be observed in memory of him, declaring that as often as this is done, his death is proclaimed. Now, the text for that is 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 through 26. Let me read that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come.'" Now, Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week and teaches that his disciples should meet on that day to break bread and to otherwise worship as God directs. I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture in that regard and string some of these thoughts together. I won't make a lot of comment, but I do want to notice that here in Matthew 28, Jesus has the authority to do that. It says in Matthew 28 in verse 18, Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, saying, All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we see that's exactly what those apostles did. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now we read over in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7, the practice of the church in the New Testament. It was upon the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. Paul discoursed with them, intending to part on the morrow. And then we read over in 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 20 that the church at Corinth was coming together to take the Lord's Supper. Now, they weren't doing it right. And so Paul said, Now, what you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. But that was their intent. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, When therefore ye assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper, not in the way they were doing it. But notice they were assembling together. And in verse 33, Jesus said, Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, wait for one another. Now, how often were they coming together? Well, listen in that same epistle, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order unto the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him store as he prospered, that there be no collections when I come. Actually, in the Greek, the very word every is in there. They were coming together and gathering together upon every first day of the week. And they were coming together to break bread in the sense that they were going to take the Lord's Supper. And the apostles wanted the saints to do this and not to forsake this. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the writer writes, Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You know, some forsake the Lord's Supper. They'll want to remember Christmas. Oh, yeah, that's the birthday of Jesus. But then to remember his death by partaking of the Lord's Supper as our Lord himself instituted on the first day of the week, now they forsake that. They forsake the commandment of God and embrace human tradition. And that can't be pleasing to God. We read that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week and taught his disciples to meet on that day to break bread and to otherwise worship as he directs. No one can obey God by refusing or neglecting to do this, which he has so plainly taught to be done in memory of his Son, the death on the cross, the shed blood, and the resurrection, all for our sins, and in hope of Christ coming again, and trying to celebrate the birth of Jesus, whose birthday no one knows and which celebration God has not commanded to be made. It is strange that anyone claiming to be a Christian will act thus. Let Christmas be a pleasant time, as Christians should rejoice always, but hilarity and foolishness and carousing and all other sins are wrong at all times of the year. Christians at all times should abstain from every form of evil. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff.